Amen. Well, Father God, we just praise you. We glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. That's the standard by which we live. And sometimes, Lord, we get things in our head that are wrong. And all we have to do is go back into the word and get straightened out. And I praise you, Father, for giving us that word as a standard for our living, walking, and talking. And Lord, we ask and we pray that tonight would be a special night that everybody would participate in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that we've already bound up all the enemy from interfering in this fellowship tonight. You're not allowed. This is God's fellowship. And when it's God's fellowship, you ain't got no business in here, in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that it's going to be a special night tonight. Lord, we thank you for all the prayers that have been answered. And all the prayers are going to be answered, because we know when we pray in bold faith. And we know that when we pray, that the answer's on the way, if not already there. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us tonight into the things that you have us to talk about. It's not about me. It's not about anybody in here but you, Lord. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless this night tonight, Lord, as we bless you, hopefully, in Jesus' name. No, I'm just going to speak it. Yes, we're going to bless you too, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right. Well, Pat's here. Here comes the blessings. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? Got your boots? Amen. All right. What about a testimony? All right, Missy.
Well, I have a prayer request. We're leaving tomorrow to go visit my family for a family get together, and I just want to pray about that. Father, I just ask you for traveling mercies there and back, and good gas mileage and no backups, no fender benders, just complete safety and quick travel, Lord. And a good time with the family, Lord, and that I would be led by your spirit and all that I speak, Lord, that I would walk through the doors, Lord, that you open, and I would not try and open any doors that you have closed, Lord. And there be a unity, Lord, and among us in you, Lord, and that that there would be good fellowship between those of us who know you, Lord. And a mutual receiving and no offense. I cast down all faction in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord, for a good time of love and fellowship in you. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that Brooke is healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. We put our faith together with mission. And no, Lord, it's going to be a special time with her and Merle in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
Michael, I first want some advice and then a prayer request. I suspect my oldest son is using drugs. So what is the first things, what is the signs that he's using drugs that I can see? I'm new to this. I don't know anything about that.
Somebody help me out here.
No. Do you know what kind of drugs it is?
I think it's cat. I'm not sure.
Say it again.
CAT. C-A-T. I'm not sure what kind of drug it
is. I don't even know what that is.
I don't either.
It's a drug, I guess.
Ben, yeah. Do you know what that is? You seem to like perk up there. Just curious.
The CAT is, I've seen it spelled K-H-A-T. And it's been around a lot for, you know, forever. It's a plant, and I think it's somewhat of a tree, and they gather leaves off of it and chew the leaves, and that's essentially what I'm aware of that had gone on. I'm not sure what's going on today, but it's been around forever, and it tends to have kind of a stimulating effect on people. That's maybe side effects as well that might find beneficial or something. But yeah, it's just a plant and people chew it.
Is it a hallucinator plant?
I think it can be, and if the dosage, you know, gets to a certain point, maybe so. I'm not an expert. I just know that it's a plant and people chew it and they get all googly eyed.
Okay, that's not good.
What I can add, what he's experienced a lot of nose troubles these days.
Like breathing?
The doctor, something with his sinus. He said something with sinus. I'm not sure if it's drug related or not, but it's new now.
Is he still using?
I'm not sure. That's why I'm asking is, what's a sign that I can look for if he's, I suspect it, but I'm not sure. He said, no, it doesn't do anything. So,
well, something was coming to my mind. If he's having sinus issues, if he's snorting things, if he's taking drugs through his nose, that would cause problems with your sinuses. But, you know, that's just all I know about that.
We can break the power of Satan off of him right now. Command healing into his sinuses. Does he profess anything to the Lord? Okay.
No.
Yeah. Well, Father, what's his name, Joe?
Ruan. R-U-A-N.
Rock.
Okay, spell it.
R-U-A-K. O-A-N. R-A-U-N.
Yeah.
Okay. How'd you get that, dude? I'm getting close, Joe. I'm getting close, buddy. I'm getting this language down. Lord, we lift up Ron to you. We praise you, Father, that he is part of Joe. And being as such, he has authority. We believe with him that the power of Satan is broken off of Ron. In the name of Jesus, we command the power of the evil ones to cease your activity against him that's keeping him from the gospel. And we praise you, Father, for sending someone that he will listen to give him the gospel, the true gospel. And we praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, that he is healed too. We command his nasal cavities to be healed in the name of Jesus, that it's a sign from the Lord. It's time for him to come in. And we praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, glory, hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord God Almighty for the work that you're doing in Joe's son right now. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for placing it in Joe, not to look at what he sees, but to look at what the word says. The word says that when we pray and we believe what we pray, we're going to get it. And I thank you, Father, that Ron is going to be on this Zoom before too much longer in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I glorify you for a son that loves you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that? Glory to God, Ron, you come on into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Ooh, my. All right, Julie, go ahead.
Something else that was coming to me is, I was on my way home from work one day. This is quite a few years ago now, but I was on my way home and I saw this guy taking a white powder, and it was not cocaine, but it was something that people, apparently it's an addiction to it. It gets them the same kind of high, and it's a sugar rush. And it was actually stuff like Splenda, the artificial sweeteners that people, those little packets of sugars. But that's what he was doing. And I'm like, really? And I found out later from somebody that people want that sugar rush, and it's a chemical that they, anyhow, it's just bizarre. But we just bind up and break off of him all addiction to drugs and wanting this supernatural high, Father. And we just thank you, Lord, that he's coming into the kingdom. And Satan, you get your hands off of him. We break your power off of him and these addictions and whatever Ron's running from, hiding from, trying to escape from, seeking some satisfaction, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would draw them to Jesus, Father, that he would find his pleasure and contentment in you, Lord Jesus.
Peace and Father. Joy in you. Yes, praise God.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Father, we just ask you to put a hedge of protection around Ron now. And Lord, we ask you to separate his whatever friends that are, or whatever cohorts around him that are a bad influence and a temptation related to these drugs. Lord, that you would separate them and you would put a barrier between them and Lord, we just trust you to turn his heart toward you, and we thank you for it. We send forth the angels right now to implement that barrier, that wall around Ron right now. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, that even though it is invisible, it's just as strong as necessary, and we thank you for it. We just praise you and thank you for the work that you're doing in him, Lord. We thank you for turning his heart, and it will eventually turn his body, his mind, and his life over to you, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name,
amen. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Father, for doing that for Ron. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Okay, you know what else? Since you brought up your son, Joe, I'm going to bring up my grandson. That's all right, Joe. Lord, I lift up my grandson, Blake, both of them, Blake and Chase, both. And Lord, I thank you. I know there's no sign of anything being happening in the spiritual realm as far as you can see with your eyes, but I know that you're behind the scenes working in their lives, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing both of them into the kingdom in a mighty way. And I know that you're going to work in Blake to fulfill that vision you gave me years ago, that he's going to be a powerful, mighty man of God. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And I break the power of Satan off of him again and again. I'm going to kick you in the teeth every time I can. In the name of Jesus, you get your hands off my grandson. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I thank you, Father, for doing that for me and Blake. In Jesus' name. And Chase. And you. And Booger Ray. And Tiffany. And Adley and Abigail and all of them, Lord, in Jesus' name.
And Hayes.
Amen. Huh?
Hayes.
And Hayes, yeah. Hayes, my kid, I think, boy, he's something else. That kid's smart as a whip. He scares me sometimes. But he's too independent. Go ahead, Ben.
I just wanted to give a report because you guys prayed for my Jeep the other week, and it's no longer leaking. So praise God
for that. Glory to God. Glory to God.
That was a long
thank night. You, Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. You hung in there and you're endured to the end. Bless God. God showed you himself strong.
Amen. Amen. There was something else. I'm sure it'll come back to me. I'll read
it. Okay. All right. Well, that brings up something too. I know Eve pulled up here the other day and her car was leaking oil. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I command that oil pan to be leaked and that plug to be, to be sealed in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for sealing that plug and that is like new into there right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
I need my rad fixed. It has a water leak somewhere. And it comes down. One time it came down and got all the cabin filter all soaked. And while I was down there, it rained real hard outside a couple times. And my mat on the passenger side in the front got soaked. So I just command this leak, whatever it is, to be sealed up and it no longer leak in the name of Jesus.
Amen. And, thank you, Father, for your sealing power.
Amen. It's fixed that leak. It's fixed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you,
no
Father.
No more water in my wrath. In Jesus' Amen. Name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Yeah, Isaac, go ahead, brother.
It's actually me. Isaac just got home. He's freshening it up. But
okay. That's hard to do.
Ben was talking about, you know, his Jeep being fixed in the rain. And so it reminded me of what happened today. I want to give a praise report. Well, y'all know that we have chickens and rabbits and such. And I do not like going out while it's raining to do my chores out there. And so I just said a silent, you know, tiny little prayer under my breath. Lord, please stop the rain so I can go out there. And he did. So that's amazing. I did the chores without being rained on, you know.
Praise God.
And also, it had been raining like all day. So I had to go pick up the groceries today too. And we have to put our groceries in the bed of the truck. You know, there's no cover, no nothing. So, you know, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you did it earlier today for me. Please, you know, if you could do it again for me, Lord. And he absolutely did again. The entire time the groceries were in the back, the entire time we were bringing in the groceries, you know, it only started raining when we were on our last trip. So praise the Lord, he held the rain for us.
Amen. Well, you weren't a bit surprised, were you?
No, because the Lord had held the rain one other time when I was towing out some mulch too. So, you know, the Lord, I absolutely do not like to be rained on, you know, while I'm out there working.
I can tell.
So. You know, I don't mind if it's raining any other time, you know. I just do like 20 minutes and he does it for me.
Amen. Go ahead, Ben.
What Mariana said reminded me of something that happened to me when I went camping with my friends not too long ago. I set up a hammock and I don't know if any of you slept in a hammock, but it's probably the most comfortable thing that you've ever slept in your life. And I slept in it the first night, but the second night it was supposed to rain and the clouds were coming. And it was that cool breeze of like, oh, it's going to rain. And then I was like, no, like I prayed in my head and I said, God, it's not going to rain tonight because I want to sleep in my hammock. And I didn't know if that was a selfish reason to pray for something like that. I also prayed like that I want to have good weather for the rest of the for the rest of the vacation that we had and all that. And then everyone was like, oh, like we all have to move inside to the tent. And we only had one tent. It's like, there's not a lot of room. I was like, no, I'm staying out here. I'm going to sleep out here. And by the end of the day, like it didn't even end up raining. Even when like it started like getting really cold and starting to rain, it was about to rain any second. I was like, nope. It's going to not rain.
That's awesome.
Very comfortable. I would recommend it. 10 out of 10. Yeah. Hammock at least once. And I have a second testimony that I would like to just mention. I did a Bible study with Karen the other day, and it was Sovereign God. We went over Sovereign God. I went over Sovereign God with her, and she's she took it really well. And she's like, this David guy seems to really know what he's talking about. And I'm like, you have no idea.
Oh, wow.
She wants to do more stuff like that. And I'm like, well, I told her that you guys know about her and that you guys want to meet her. And so whenever she wants to come on, I'll gladly bring her.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We'll have a party.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lord, for working in Karen's life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Lana. Was that Lana?
That was me. Hey, I wanted to also share a quick testimony, kind of similar to Mariana's. I was preparing to make a quick run to the grocery store today, and I was going to had to haul the kids with me. And I was thinking to myself, man, it's getting close to that time when they, had forecasted the rain. So I was like, Lord, thank you that I'm going to be able to make this trip without any rain. And so we get to Walmart and the clouds are pulling in, and I'm telling the boys, you know, we got to hurry. We got to get back to the van before the rain starts. And in my mind, I'm like, thank you, Lord. That's exactly what's going to happen. And I'm like, man, Lana, don't dilly dally. Don't go looking for anything extra. And of course we get caught up in something, but it wasn't a long trip at all. But the cool part is that we did make it outside. And by the time we got to the van, it was sprinkling, and we get in the van and there's a short sprinkle, but that was perfectly fine because we were praising the Lord. And I told the boys about it too. And I was like, the van can get a wash and then we can, you know, pull the van into the garage. And we usually leave the van via the garage, so we don't have to worry about the rain then. But I really did not want to get stuck in the parking lot with three boys happy to be jumping. Well, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, little boys like to ride, play in the rain. All right. Anybody else? Amen. Or trip each other. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord. I've been torn with the idea, and y'all could voice your opinions whether you like it or not, but what I'd like to do is to talk about a couple of things and actually just box it all into one, and that is what it is that we as Christians are to do and what it takes to do that. And I'll give you specific, and that's ministering divine healing to people. As you probably already know from past testimonies, that's pretty much what I've been doing for 25 years. And I learned from a guy, his name was James Bogle, was one of them that I learned from. That's the first guy. And he taught me how to to do it. That's all he knew to do was just to command. And that's what he taught me to do, is to command the enemy. And it worked great. But I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit at that time. I did that for a year and a half, 2 years. And then I got a hold of Curry Blake, some of his stuff, and I called him, and I had him up to Arkansas a couple of times doing divine healing technician training, which is a 3-day course. And then I had him, I also went to one up in Illinois where he was up there also. And I learned more about it, about divine healing and how to minister it and what it is, how Jesus did it. And that's one of the things that made Curry successful. When he found out something that people told him would hinder healing, he would research it in the Word of God and come to find out it wasn't true. I'd like to share some of what I've learned over the last many years with y'all, if that's something you want to learn. Because I believe you're going to need it, not only for bringing in the kingdom to people, bringing the kingdom to people. That's what's going to bring the people into the kingdom. They're going to notice right quick something different in you, because you have something that they don't have. They can be Christians and see the works of God and understand that they don't have that, and they'll want to know more about it. So if that's what you want to do, if y'all want to do this, you know, let me know and raise your hand. I'll tell you what, just raise your hands if you want to. Don't do it just because everybody else is. I'm talking about, be serious about it. If you're going to be serious about it, that's good. Okay. All right, we can do that. All right. I guess some of the things that I need to talk about first is a lot of things that I learned also from Curry Blake was through John Lake also. Lake was his mentor. Lester Sumrall was also one of his mentors. And I worked with him back in the early 2000s. And I hadn't seen him since then or talked with him then. I was ordained once in his ministry. And the Lord had me send my ordination papers back, I guess because I was coming out here. But anyway, here's the very first thing I found out. There's only two reasons for failure to heal or to receive your healing. Two reasons, only two reasons. One is unbelief. Matthew 17:19-20, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we pass it out? And he said unto them, because of your little faith. Well, verily I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it will be removed. Nothing shall be impossible to him. And then over in Mark 7:13, making void the word of God by your tradition. That's the second thing, is man's traditions. The two things that keep people from getting healed or from you healing somebody is for you to believe, keeping those traditions of men. And another thing that I found out as we studied the word with Curry and other people also, I found out this, that there is no hindrance to receiving healing or ministering healing, especially ministering healing. It's up to us as people of God to keep filled up and stir up the spirit in you every day. And the way you do that, we've talked about it here just recently a lot, is by speaking in tongues, praying in the spirit, reading the word of God, praising God, and filling yourself up. Remember what we said last week, I think it was. We talked about what Lake said about praying in the spirit. That was the making of his ministry, he said. He said, it's like a dynamo. When you pray in the spirit, he'd pray in the spirit at least an hour or two a day. He said, when you pray in the spirit, it's like a dynamo. It builds up like a battery. And once you build it up like a battery, you can utilize it at any time. And when you do that, you know that the power of God is in you and you can utilize it. Yeah, there you go. There you go, Vince. I'll tell you what, when you understand that you can pray for somebody and get them healed, you'll know you'll want to do that all the time. The more you do it, the more you want to do it because you're helping people from dying. You know what sickness is? That's baby death. That's the enemy that wants to take you out. But we have Christ that lives in us. And when you have Christ that lives, who is Christ? Who is God? Who is the Holy Spirit? That's God's Spirit inside of you. He is the power. He said he's the power, the dunamis that he gave us to overcome, to take dominion, to have authority over all the power of the enemy. You know, I'll make a statement like this. If you've got sin in your life, you can minister healing and it'll work. It's just that God will deal with you on judgment day if you don't repent. But he loves his people so much that he'll allow you to continue on healing people. You've got people out there now that are just reprobate almost, but they're healing people. You know why? Because God wants his people to understand his power and his glory and his love for them. Did Jesus ever turn anyone down? You have to ask yourself, okay, if Jesus never turned anyone down, are we to turn people down? No, I just don't know how to do it. Well, all you have to do is this. I'll tell you, the simplest way to do it is just to believe that it's not you healing them, but it's the power of God in you that's healing them. And the more you build up that power inside of you, the more healing you're going to see. The more healing you're going to see. And you do that, but just like what I was talking about, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, speaking in, praying in the spirit a lot. And one other thing is boldness. One of the things that Carrie taught me right away. Now I always was, I was an introvert, nor, cause you know better than that. I've always been much of an extrovert. I love people, always have, and love being around people and, most people. Anyway, the thing that you need to do, God does not like timidity when it comes to working and ministering the Spirit of God. He wants boldness. He doesn't want arrogancy. Don't get me wrong. There's a difference. He wants boldness in the Spirit. When you have boldness in the Spirit, what does that mean? Well, that means when I go into Walmart and I see some woman on a golf cart hunkered over like this, barely getting around, you go up there and I ask her, ma'am, can I pray for you? And she'll say one of two things. She'll say yes or no. Most of the time, 95% of the time, they'll want you to pray for them. And then all you have to do is put your hands on them and release the power of God into them and watch them straighten up. And once you watch them straighten up, first thing you ask them is, do you have any pain, or what is it that you're trying, that you want to do or you can't do that you could do before? And they'll say, well, I've got pain in my shoulder. I've got this or I've got that. Okay. File it. And then you pray for them. You command that thing to go from them. And then you say, go ahead and do what you couldn't do before. Or do you have any pain now? You still got a hold of them. You still got a hold of them because you know the power of God's still going through there. And if they say, yeah, I still got pain there, well, you keep on praying. Thank you, Father. Pain, you got to go in the name of Jesus. You cease your operation on this lady and you get off of her right now in the name of Jesus. And you hold her for a few seconds and watch the power of God go through her and you'll see if she'll come back up. She said, well, the pain's gone. Pain's gone. Glory to God. Pain's gone. I don't have this pain anymore. I said, stand up straight. And stand up straight. And your eyes will open up. You've helped somebody. Who did that? It's Jesus. And understand, go and sin no more. What church you belong to? The Church of Jesus Christ. Go to your Bible and read your Bible. There's a lot of misconceptions about healing, ministering healing. A lot of misconceptions. If you don't mind, I've got some stuff here I'd like to. Oh, one of the things I wanted to tell you about, you don't have to be in a church to see people getting healed. You don't have to be in a fellowship. You don't have to be, you can be right in front of Walmart. I've done it. You can be right on aisle 8. I've done it. You can be in Kroger's on aisle 2 where the bread is. I've done it. And a lot of other people have. The Spirit of God can work anywhere, anytime, under any conditions. How many of you know that God's not restricted? He's not restricted. You don't have to get the conditions right for him to work. If your God only works when the conditions are right, you need a new God. Lord God, you need a new God. Because mine works under storm conditions. You know what I mean? He works under, when everything's in a chaos around, you know, and another thing. You can go up and you can ask somebody, you know, if you could pray for them. And they say, yeah. I say, well, what's, sometimes I do like Wigglesworth. He'd have to tell them, say, what's up? And I love that. And then they'll start, well, back in 1947, I'll stop them right there. And I say, wait a minute. All I want to know is what you want me to pray for you about. I don't need to know the history behind it. And you don't, because you could be there all afternoon listening to somebody. Just tell me what you want me to pray for. And God's going to do it. And they'll tell you. You know what the criminals against God is? Sin, sickness, disease, and demonic being. And anything else that would exalt itself above God. And our job, the job of God's people, is to search out and destroy the enemy. To search out and destroy the enemy. And just state the truth of God to them. That's all you got to do. And there's something else that I need to put up there too. I know this is a lot, but I want to get this out there. You can either believe in an instantaneous healing. That's what I always do when I go up to pray for somebody. I always believe God's going to do it right then. I'm not going to wait 2 days, 4 days, 6 days, 30 days. It happens sometimes. But the more you believe that you're going to have an instantaneous healing, the more instantaneous healing you're going to have. Or you can believe for progressive healing, where you pray for them and believe it's going to happen within the next whatever. But I like to see it right then. You know, if you got, like one time, the little girl, the little baby, newborn, born with a hole in his heart. They didn't know what, they're going to have to operate on the baby. And they called me and asked me if I wouldn't go up there and pray for him. And I said, yeah, it's at the Children's Hospital in Little Rock. I didn't know these people from Adam Falk. Like, that's okay. God can work. I've seen him work in hospitals too, boy, I'm telling you. Anyway, I went up there and I prayed for him. And I said, this baby's got a new heart. And I turned around and walked out. Praise God for it. Turned around and walked out. Got the call, and within just a few hours, they did another. I told them, I said, get you another opinion on this heart. And when they did, they found out the baby had a great, fine heart. It wasn't nothing wrong with the heart. Wasn't nothing wrong with it. That was a miracle from God. That was a miracle. A gift of miracles was in operation on that one, because he replaced the heart. But just remember, you go in there believing that God's going to do it instantaneously when you pray for somebody, and that's what you'll get. And another thing, people say that the person that you're praying for has to have faith in order for them to get healed. Oh, yeah? Really? What about the demoniac? Did the demoniac have faith? No, he wanted to squeeze Jesus. I know. He wanted to choke him, I'm sure. But he couldn't. The only, and this is something that Curry's always said, the only hindrance to healing is to believe there is a hindrance. So when you go to pray for somebody, you just, all you're doing is trusting God. Do you trust God? He's going to make sure that you do. Trust God. Let me tell you a little bit of story about Lake. Lake had the healing rooms up in, I think they pronounce it Spokane, and not Spokane, like we do down in Arkansas. And they do that in Texas too, Barry, I know. But anyway, when he had those rooms up there, he would tell the people that was coming in for healing, you have to come every day for 30 days. And we'll get you healed. Well, that worked great. That worked great. He had, at the end of his time there at Spokane, he had a 76% healing success. 76. Hundreds of thousands. Spokane was considered the healthiest city in the world. They shut down hospitals. And all they had hundreds of thousands of people that were healed. And they only had, I believe it was just 5 technicians. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was either 3 or 5. I think it was 5 that were helping him do it. Pray for him. That's right, Pat. That's another one. I was going to bring that out, but figuring I'd wouldn't belabor the point. You understood what I was talking about. But Curry even went further than that. He started believing for instantaneous healing. And last time I checked with him, or checked on his site, he had a 97% success ratio. You know what the average church is that even believes in healing is? You know what the average percentage is? 10%. 1 out of 10 gets healed. And their car is up there at 97%, 96%. How many of you want to be at 100%? I do. I want to be at 100%. Bless God, not who to. You know, there was a guy. Let me show you about unbelief. I told this before, but I'm going to read it this time. That way you get a little bit better understanding about who this guy was. There was a man that came to Dr. Lake's office. Lake was sitting at his desk, and the man came in on crutches. The man walked in. He said, I'm a good Catholic. I don't want anything that's going to hurt my religion. I don't have faith in man. I don't have faith in doctrine. I don't even have faith in God. What can you do for me? Most Christians would have said, not a thing. You got to have faith if you're going to be healed. But Lake wasn't out of way. He laughed. He pushed himself back from his desk. And he said, that's all right. I got enough faith for both of us. And he got up. He walked over next to the man that had the crutch, stood there and talked with him. Battery operating here, remember? Speaking in tongues. Batteries operating. He said, I never prayed for the man. I let the spirit of life flow from me to him to drive out the sickness and disease. And while he stood there talking to the man, having shaken his hand, holding him by the arm as they talked, he eventually took the man's crutch away from him. The man did not notice he had taken it. Lake finished by shaking the man's arm and said, well, you go and have a good day, sir. The man turned, walked out without his crutch, didn't even notice that he had been healed. And when he got outside the office in the hallway, Lake called him, said, hey, do you want this? Talking about his crutch. The man turned back towards Lake and seeing the crutch, he said, all to hell with it. Lake said, I agree. And Lake put the crutch down and the man walked out healed. Did the man have any faith? No, he didn't have a bit of faith. He admitted he didn't have any faith. But the power of God in Lake went off on him and into him. Remember what happened when Paul once had some cloths, and they'd pray over the cloth, and they'd hand the cloths out, and people would get healed. We've done that years ago when I had that teaching that I was doing in that Assembly of God church. And, man, I'll tell you what, we got letters back, telephone calls, people getting healed just from that. We'd all get around it, pray on the cloth and send them out. People who requested, people got healed. I'm telling you, that's the power of God going into that cloth. It's just like he was talking about. That's the power of the Spirit from you to whatever. When Lake was leaving Africa, South Africa, they were the people that were there. They were scared that they wouldn't have a way to get healed since he was gone. The white healer was going away from them, you know. So him and his crew went over and prayed for a post. They said over 10,000 people got healed after he left South Africa. The power of God was on that post from that time. Over 10,000 people. Once you truly learn that who you touch will live and who you don't touch will probably die, then you'll start to look at your hands differently. And you won't be talking about an anointing. You'll be talking about, God, show me how I can be more usable. Show me the things, the weights, the little sins that get in the way. Show me these things so that I can get rid of them and I can run my race clear, faster, and show me what's important. How many of you would like to see everybody that you saw needed help to get that help? I do. I want to see it. And it's not something that you can just snap your fingers and you got to do it. Once you learn that God is in you, living in you, and it's nothing you can do but just let God use you. That's all he wants you to do. You're his hands. You're his feet. You're his mouth. And when you understand it, what you've got in you is what's going to show the people out there the light that God was talking about. That's the light that people need to see now. They're seeing nothing but hell and all the creation of hell going around them, you know. They're reading in the newspapers, all this garbage is going on. And they're getting sick. You're going to see a bunch of people die here if we don't change things. And I don't believe God is. God's already said he's going to bring judgment on the church. Well, that's where we come in. That's where we go out there and administer Jesus, minister the Spirit of God. Remember what happened? Wasn't it Elijah? I believe it was Elijah. They throwed the dead man. I mean, he was already dead. His bones is the only thing in there. Or was that Elisha? Remember that? They throwed a guy in there that had died, throwed him in there, and he came back to life. Man, he had some power built up in him. He still was working in his bones. Elisha, thank you, Anna. Yeah, that was Elisha. And talking about generational curses. Did Jesus ever have? He had a prime time to do that when the blind man, remember? It was a blind man. When he healed the blind man. Generational curses. What about when you're going over to India or any of those countries where there's multiplicities of people out there when you're preaching? You ain't got time to go through all that garbage. Gotta heal them. You don't need generational curses. You know, if you got time, that's fine, but I don't know why it's necessary. I really don't. I know it goes against everything that we've heard, but you got to go back and look at what the Word of God says. Jesus never asked anybody. He says, in fact, he told us, don't look back, look forward. And when you understand that it's God in you and it's not you, you don't have to worry about it. Just go out there and pray for folks. Blake, one time, I may have told you this. I think he was in Italy. This guy shot his uncle, and they didn't expect him to live. And Blake was over there doing a DHT in Italy. And they called him and asked him to pray for him. And he went over and prayed for him and said, okay, he's going to live. Well, they came back the next day. One of his cousins, one of the guy's cousins or something, and Donald said he died. And Curry just said, okay. What happened? He said, well, he just died. He said, okay. Well, when the guy left, Curry went back to the Lord. He put it back on the Lord's shoulders. Now, this is how radical we have to be. And he told the Lord, he said, if you don't raise this man from dead and heal him, I'm going to tell everybody that you can't trust the Lord to do it anymore. That you lied. Now, I'm asking you to raise this guy back up and heal him. He said, I'm going to quit. I'm going to go back home. And I'm never going to do it again if you don't do that. God, can't you see God? Y'all hear what that guy said? Ain't this something? That's my boy, Curry. Oh, my gosh. Look at him, boys. Go down there and get that boy back up off the bed. And that's exactly what happened. He raised that man from the dead, healed him, and he was perfectly healed. by the time he got back to the hospital. He raised up perfectly healed. That's how radical we have to be to understand that God's not a liar. He's going to do. All we have to do is endure in our faith to see it in. See the end. Just look at the end before you ever start. You know he's healed. You can see these people healed as you pray for them. Imagine in your mind, I can see him healed. Bless God. Just go ahead and grab a hold of them and command sickness or whatever it is off of them. Oh, yeah, here's something else. Talking about generational curses. Where does your generation go back to? Goes back to Jesus. And when you go back to Jesus, you don't have any curses from that generation on, do you? No, you're completely free of all of that. You don't have any curses anymore. And can you imagine going to India and praying? There's 500,000 people out there, or 50,000, what they get out there. Can you imagine going out there? Now, what kind of a curse do you have? Spending a half an hour with every one of them trying to figure out what to pray? No, man, just go out there and command that demon off of them. Command healing into their bodies and watch what happens. Matter of fact, the Lord has told us there's going to be multiple healings at one time. All we have to do is just believe that God's going to do it in us. Lord, I just believe the next time I have 50,000 people in front of me, 50,000 people in front of me, and bless God, every one of them needs a healing, it's going to happen. Because you said, if we pray and we believe, if we believe that we have received, we shall have it. Oh, I like what Kurt says about this. He said, you know, the problem is you have to get rid of all those stupid beliefs that say, yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but what if? And I always tell the people, the one statement I hear more than any other is, yeah, but. And I'll tell, and here's what he said. He said, and I tell them, I am here to kick your butts out, right out the door. Because butts don't count. And there's not one thing that can stop the power of God. If a sin can stop the power of God, you didn't get saved. Because you were in sin and the power of God delivered you. You beat the devil with one scripture. John chapter 3 verse 16. And once you get saved, now you think you've got to know all the theology before you can beat the devil. One little imp of spirit of infirmity or some type of sickness or disease, you think you have to have the perfect theology. All you have to have is Jesus. And you got to stay humble too. You can't get puffed up on anything that you do because it ain't you doing it, folks. It's God in you that's doing it. And you'll understand that. You know that. I like this, what he says too. And this is the truth. You don't need atmosphere because you are the atmosphere. The atmosphere will change because you will be the spiritual authority in that area. I had a lady one time in Newport, Arkansas, tell me, she said, Michael, you got to be careful around here. She said, because these principalities over this city are terrible. They're tough. They're this, they're that. I said, lady, her name was Nancy. I said, Nancy, when we as Christians walk into this city, we're the ones in authority. That's when the devil has to go, and he knows it. They don't have any dominion over God's people. if you believe that. And that's the truth. How many of you know that? There ain't nothing over a city or a town or state or anything like that that cannot be broken by one little old grandma praying. That's the truth. What did Jesus tell us to do? Matthew 10:8, he said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Heal anybody, anytime, anywhere of anything, and don't worry about getting permission from headquarters. Do your job. He's already given you the permission. Amen. Anybody got any questions right now before I go on here a little bit? Yeah. The faith thing, you got to have faith to get healed. I'm talking about the person that you're praying for, they have to have faith in order for them to get healed as a farce. How much faith that Pat brought this out a while ago while I was talking about the other, or was that to you, Isaac? I don't remember. It was Lazarus. How much faith did Lazarus have? Didn't have none. He didn't have none. He was up there in heaven. He was having a good time with Jesus. Yeah. He didn't have any faith. So it's your faith that's going to bring people into healing. And I had somebody ask me the other day, said, well, you have to be led to someone to heal them. I said, no, you're already led. You're led by the word of God. And that word of God is what leads you. Word of God says, go out into the world. That kind of narrows it down, doesn't it? Go out into the world and heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons and preach the gospel. You're constantly led by the Spirit of God. Yep, somebody else been praying and got results. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you know the Holy Spirit stays with you all the time? If the Holy Spirit stays with you all the time, that means you got the power to ever, as long as you know, like I said, if you want to be the most helpful for those that humble themselves before God and they get filled up with the Spirit of God and they meditate on the Word of God and break down those strongholds that they had it put in there by other churches before. And amen. I'm sorry, I'm getting. Okay. All right, here's one we can do right now. All right, let's lift up Angelica. She says she's been heavily attacked in her mind. With the name of Jesus right now. Just imagine the power of God going out of your fingers over to her. In the name of Jesus right now, I command this attack on her mind to cease in Jesus' name. I break your power right now. I bind you up and cast you out of her mind in the name of Jesus. You don't have any right to be there in the name of Jesus. So go from her in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that she has the mind of Christ. And I praise you and I glorify you and I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for placing in her to start praying in the spirit more. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, she is completely healed, delivered, and set free by the power of the blood of Jesus. Amen. That's what we do when we pray. We just imagine the power of life going into people. Just imagine it. Power. David has a teaching called, I think it's in the Real Good News also. Imagination brings faith or something like that. Anybody remember that? Yeah. All healing is the life of God going into a person and driving out sickness and death. And when you get enough life into them, they're well. So your job is just to become a big enough conduit that enough life can go into them to drive that thing out of them. It's real simple. So we're not ministering healing. We're ministering life, because life defeats death, doesn't it? And it defeats sickness and disease too. That's all sickness and disease is baby death, because that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to take them out of here. Ah, this is true. You know, I've noticed that over the years is when we don't have much success, we want to blame somebody else other than ourselves. And other than, you know, we want to put it on the person we're praying for, or we want to put it on, well, I don't guess God's, then this is not y'all, the other people. I guess God just didn't want to heal them. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell. God always wants to heal people. He wants his love spread out. He wants his love spread out in ways that would change people's hearts to him. And he'll use you to do it. He'll use all of us to do it. Yeah, imagination, faith. Yeah, that's it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You remember what Jesus always said when the disciples failed in their healing or the deliverance? Oh, you of unbelief, of little faith. Ye of little faith. How do you get faith? Pray in tongues. Read the word. Renew your mind with the word of God. That's how you get it. The thing about being a person that God can depend on is someone that runs after God with all their heart. He'll use anybody. He'll use anybody, but he especially wants somebody that he can trust. That I'm telling you what, you'll see miracles, miracles, miracles. The gifts of miracles are already open. The gifts of faith is already there. The gift of healing is already there. It's if you want to access it or not. All the gifts are in operation because we have the Holy Spirit right here. He wants us to be able to use it. When he said, when you speak in tongues, you can ask to interpret. Pray and ask. He said, pray that you have interpretation. I ain't got there yet, but I'm sure asking. I'm asking the God to help me in my personal prayer time. Just tell me what I said, because I'm going to pray for specific things through the Spirit, and I want him to let me know what I'm praying so I can get his wisdom rather than what I think. That's what Lake would do. He would go out, pray. When he come back, he'd have the night sermon. The Lord would give him the things to say. Ooh, boy, that'd be awesome. Remember when the disciples were unable to cast that spirit that kept that child flocking all over the place, you know, going in the fire and all that kind of stuff? What did Jesus tell the disciples? He put the ball back in their court, didn't he? He said, because of your lack of belief, your unbelief is what happened. Now, the King James put in there, in order to get the baby healed, you had to fast and pray, but no, they just added that in there. He said, all you got to do is believe. Jesus put the ball back into the disciples' court. And the only time Jesus ever got on anybody, he never got on anybody that was being healed. He always got on the disciples because of their unbelief or their lack of faith or any of that stuff. Yeah, Judy.
I was just reading that in Mark chapter. No, I can't remember what it was. They have about the, where they couldn't cast the demon out. And they said, why couldn't we? You know, and it says, because of your little faith. And, you know, I haven't been, but with myself, I guess it's looking by sight, you know, believing by sight, because you don't see it. And they're the demons, you know, toying with you and bluffing you and you lose your faith because you're seeing what's happening in that case. You know, I think they were seeing what was happening with this child and they'd never dealt with it maybe before. They didn't know how.
I'll tell you what happened. Similar situation happened to David David and I, we were all over at somebody's house praying for this young girl that had demons. And we pray, command, and then we'd ask her, well, how do you feel? No, it's still there. It's still there. Well, we go back to praying again, commanding, doing all that. We did that 3 or 4 times. Finally, David said, look, we've already prayed. That demon's got to go. We're going home. It's time for us to go to bed anyway. So we just got up, walked out the door. Was one night, wasn't even off the porch good. And she come running out there. It left. And that's what you have to understand, is you just believe that you've already done it. That demon's gone. And we didn't walk, we hadn't even gone down the steps yet before she come running out there saying that the devil was gone. And you can't sit there and play with them. Yeah, they'll play with you all night long if you want to. Just walk off and leave. Say, hey, you're gone. I ain't putting up with this garbage. You're gone. And they're gone. Yeah, Andrew.
So what David did was he took a couple of smooth rocks and just put them in his ears and he put them on his and he just walked right in, so he didn't have those senses anymore. And the demon went, whoa, freak me out.
Yeah. Oh, my. Amen. Now, I like this, too. Just a minute. Talking about anointings, you don't look for an anointing. You don't have to wait for an anointing. We recognize that we are a soldier of Christ. We're an ambassador, as a matter of fact, of Christ. We stand in Christ's stead. And our King has given every weapon that we need to do the job. When he was resurrected, he gave us all the tools that we need. He gave us everything he had. He gave us all of his stuff when he left. And all we have to do is understand that we have it. And when you understand that you've got that toolbox he had, you're a human dynamo. Turn it there, Benjamin. Turn that down. Turn that dynamo up. And I'm telling you, you have the power. Yeah, there you go. And that power will light up the world, boy, I'm telling you. The reason that everybody knows, the reason that Jesus came back was to allow God to enter back into us as it did when Adam was born or was raised, you know, and lived in the Garden of Eden with God, walked in the cool of the morning with him and all of those things, talked with him, had conversations with God. And of course, when he ate of the fruit that he was from, I only have one commandment, one little old bitty commandment. And that's all he had. And he couldn't keep it because he had his eyes on his idol. That was his life. And that took the Spirit of God out of him. And it stayed out of people for 4,000 years. Until Jesus came back. And when Jesus came back, he made the way for us to have the Spirit of God just like him, just like Jesus. And we don't have to sacrifice bulls and goats and all of that stuff, go through all of those, whatever it was that they had to go through back then. All we have to do is just confess and believe. Has anybody got any questions or any comments on what I've already gone over here tonight? Everybody feel confident going out, being bold and giving us a testimony for next week? I tell you what, that's a great thing about Curry. You go up through that DHT and he'd say, okay, now you go out today and tomorrow when you come back, give us a testimony of who got healed. And he'd make you do it. And that's where the boldness came in. I wanted to do it. I wanted to see God work. A lot of other people did, but some of them, you know, they'd hold back. You know, they're introverts, and I understand that. Takes a little bit of boldness. And the one that I went to up in Illinois, I think it was at, is there a Rockville or something like that down there close to Indianapolis? Rockdale or Rockville or something like that. Anyway, that's where it was. And I just walked out of the the place we were having it at, walked down the street, and I saw this lady out there in the yard, and she was trying to rake, but she was having a tough time. She had something wrong with her foot. And I stopped. I started talking to her, and I asked her, what's wrong with your foot? She said, she told me what it was, and I remember what it was, but I said, I can pray for you, and God will heal that. She said, oh, would you? And I said, yeah. And I grabbed her by the hands, and God healed her, and she went to this raking man. She was just dancing all over her yard. And she, good gracious, that works, don't it? And that's what you got to do. You just got to do it. The more you do it, the more proficient at it you'll be. It's just like anything else. The more you do it, the more you'll understand what God's doing. And you'll understand that these hands give life back to people. And you'll want to lay them on everybody that has problems. Build up your faith by praying in the Spirit, reading the Word of God. Yeah, Pat, I'm sorry. I didn't see your hand here just then.
I have this mind picture that I had thought about before, and it kind of goes along with what you're saying there as far as, we are conduits, mm-hmm. And it's God's healing, and it kind of is, it takes a little bit of an explanation just to, make sure that I have an electronics background, and there's people in here that have an electronics background. And so it's easier to catch that concept. But if you, how this light up here works is that it is, there's a wire running over to the main distribution panel in my house, and that wire comes directly over to this light switch on the wall, and which opens and closes when we want to, and goes up to that light. So when you come into the room, you make a decision, I need light. By your own volition, you reach over there and hit that light switch, which makes the connection and allows power to flow from that main distribution panel up to that light and produce light. And the interesting thing is that to realize is that the power that is powering that light has nothing to do with the person turning the switch. All they're doing is flipping the switch, making the connection close. And that light up there is not being powered by the main panel in my house. It's that main panel in my house is connected to the power lines outside my house, going to a transformer somewhere, which is going directly back to the nuclear power plant that's 20 miles down the road. So when you flip that switch, it's not like you're turning on a battery. You're connected directly. You are connected through the power directly to the nuclear power plant down the street. And that power plant just gives you more, whatever power you need for that light. So as I was listening to you speak, Michael, because I've had the experience of doing, flipping the light on in prayer and seeing people healed. But what is happening in that picture when they don't get healed? because you're flipping the, you're doing what you've known. You've flipped the switch, but the light doesn't come on. Is that a, you know,
well, it's like I said, there's two reasons for people not getting healed. That's doubt and unbelief and traditions of men. And what did Jesus ever put it on the people that were being healed? No. He always put it on the disciples, the people that were doing the healing. And, you know, I haven't seen everybody healed by a long shot. And it was always my fault. It wasn't God's fault. It wasn't the people's fault that were there. It was my fault. But I've seen some miraculous healings also. And for me, Pat, I just accepted it as my failure. I'll tell you something that I found out a lot that I've done is I quit too soon. I quit too soon. One time, God told my best friend to call Michael and y'all go down there and pray for the two kids that were killed in that car wreck down there in the church or the funeral home, and I'll raise them from the dead. What he told Buddy. Buddy called me this year. You want to go with me down there to Ben, and let's pray for those two boys. I said, yeah, I'll go with you. And so we went down there and asked the guy at the funeral home if we could go in there and pray for the boys. I said, yeah, go ahead. They said, ain't nobody here, ain't nobody coming, so just go ahead and do what you want to do. And so we went in there, just one of them was in there. And we prayed for about 45 minutes to an hour. I don't remember how long it was, but we thought it was quite a while. And we gave up. And so we got to seeking the Lord about it. He said, you didn't endure in your faith to the end. And I said, my goodness, how long do you have to say? Well, it doesn't make any difference as long as it takes. We should have stayed there all night long if that's what it took. I've known of people that prayed right by their husband's bed all night long, him being dead in the hospital. They want to take him to the mortuary. She said, no, he ain't dead. And just kept on praying for him. Lord, you told me that you wasn't going to take him until he came to you. And he hadn't come to you. Bless God, he's got to come back up so we can preach Jesus to him. And the next morning, he woke up. He walked right up. He'd been dead all day and all night. And the hospital people were getting antsy, wanting to get him out of there and getting him in a funeral home. And he woke up, and she just stood up. She said, well, hi, honey. She said, what do you need? She said, well, I'd like to go home. She said, okay. Went and got his clothes. Out the hospital they walked. This was an elderly couple, and he came to Jesus too. That's integrity and believing God. It's not all the time going to work like Jesus. He's going to test you. He's going to test your faith. And we just have to have the resolve in our hearts to help the people that need our help to stay and see it done. Enduring our faith to the end to see it done. Another time, I got rebuked. The Lord told me to go to National Home Center in North Little Rock, that he wanted me to go up there and pray for somebody. I said, okay. So I got in my truck and I went up there and I said, where is he, Lord? He said, start walking toward the entrance. And I walked toward the entrance. Here a guy comes out in a wheelchair. He said, "That's him." So I walked up to him. I said, "Sir, can I pray for you?" He said, "Get your hands out of me and get away from me. Get away from me." I said, "Yeah, but I will pray for you. God told me to come here and pray for you." He said, "I said, get away from me." Real nasty. And so I went back to the truck like a whoop pup with my tail tucked between my leg. And I said, "Lord, what is going on here? You told me to come up here and pray for him." He said, "Yeah." I said, "I was going to give him one more chance before I took him. One more chance. Because, you know, whatever." I said, "Okay. I don't know. You know, somebody else figured God out." That's what he told me. All right. Anybody got any questions or any answers? There's a whole lot more to this, but I just wanted to kind of hit the, what I'd like to do is, I know a lot of you have been taught a lot of different things and even some of the things I've said tonight, but I want you to know you have to go back to the Word of God and look at Jesus's ministry and see what he did, because that's what he put us here for, is to emulate him. The 2 Corinthians 3:18, remember that? I think it's second, is it second or first? One of them Corinthians. I think it's the second and third. Yeah. Thank you, Missy. Oh, it's the 3 Corinthians. Oh, okay. Okay. Trying to trip me up here, girl. You know, Pat, you said something a while ago that caught my interest, and that was, you're a conduit, and that's exactly what we are. We're a conduit, but we're also storing up batteries too. If you just know in your heart that when you put your hands on somebody, they're going to get healed. And how you do that is being bold and do it every day. Find somebody to pray for every day. Find somebody to pray for. Lord, send somebody in front of my path that I can pray for. The more you do it, the more proficient at it you'll be. That's just a natural fact. I found that out real quick. I'd go out every week, and I had to, when I first learned it, this guy was, man, he said, "You go with me, you stay with me, and I'll show you how to do it." And I did. I stayed 8 months with him. And we'd fast 3 days a week, and it was on Saturday, we'd take off. We'd go all over the Southwest. And we'd heal people on the street corners that didn't know Jesus from Adam's all faults. And God would heal them. Miraculous healings. And we'd have meetings in motels or hotels. And God would heal people. Homeless people. People that didn't know God. We went in one place, I told you about this, where there were 5 guys in the front room in this little old bitty apartment passing around a peach can full of wine. And prayed for this lady back in the back in the kitchen that had terminal cancer, that they'd sent her home to die. God healed her instantly. Well, over a few days. And we came back to a couple of weeks later. When we got there, she couldn't keep nothing down. She couldn't eat nothing but chicken broth. And when we came back to visit and see how she was doing, we called her a little bit. She was walking up the driveway with a sack of groceries. She said, "I can eat pork chops now." I said, "Praise God." Praise God. But that's the one that went ahead and started listening to her family and her friends that she needed to go back and make sure that she doesn't have it and all that kind of garbage. You can't go back on your faith, folks. You cannot go back on your faith. Somebody had their hand up a while ago. Who was that? Is that you, Isaac? No. The only thing that's keeping you from going out and heeding folks is you. Yeah, I like this too. He said, Kurt said, if you really want to do Bible healing, do the exact opposite of what's been done in the church. And you'll be closer to the Bible. We think that we got to have a setting. You know what I mean? We got to have a setting. We got to have a setting. We've already proved all of that before. Anybody think that you don't have everything there is to have in order to get people healed? If there's something else, there ain't nothing else, just Jesus. That's all we need. Jesus, the Holy Spirit. The newest Christian, the brand, just a day old Christian can go out and get people healed. David talks about, you remember the guy that, I believe it was a preacher that wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost that David met, and he went in there to see the guy that was a demoniac and got thrown out the door into the street, and he was screaming and hollering about the demons on him. You know, get these demons off of him. And this kid walked up there, that just a brand new Christian, and commanded them demons off of him. That's what that was. Just a brand new Christian. Is this helping anybody? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So that's good.
Michael, can I ask a question?
Absolutely. I prefer that, yeah.
So, okay. So, I think... I am probably more of an introvert, obviously, than an extrovert. At least I think so. I know I run my mouth a lot, but I think I believe I am more introverted. So my question would be, maybe it's just a prayer away. I don't know, but to remove can you be an introvert and still be bold?
Well, sure. Sure.
Then what in the introvert personality or whatever hinders boldness? And is it pride or
lack of knowledge? I'll tell you something. Y'all may not know this, but David is an introvert. He is an introvert. You hear him talking all the time on the outreach, on the broadcast and stuff, and even on streaming, but he didn't really like to talk a lot. But he is very effective in praying for people. You know why? Because he knows that's what God wants. That's what God desires. We represent Jesus on earth. And when we get that in our knowledge, in our spirit, that we understand that, introvert, extrovert, anovert, I don't know, whatever, doesn't make any difference. You just want to do what God wants you to do. And you go out there and help the people. That's the love. Every time that Jesus went out and he healed them all or healed this and or healed that. You know what it was from? You know why he did it? It says in every instant, compassion. Compassion for them. Compassion for them. We have to have the love of Christ in us. So when we see somebody hurting, being attacked by the enemy, then we want to help them. We want to help them. And that's the love that God wants us to give out to the people. Be that light, he said. We want to be a bright light, not some dim light. We want to be a bright light for God. Who did that? How'd you do that? I can tell you, you got a minute and just tell them about Jesus. Now, that was Jesus, that he was using you to bring them to life. That's how the revival's going to start, y'all. He's already shown us that. The Lord has told us that. It's going to be the signs and wonders of God. Yeah, Judy. I'm sorry, Isaac. I'll get right back to you. Go ahead, Judy.
I asked God to use me. And, you know, I just kept listening to the Bible studies and was reading the word. And I believe what the gospel says. I believe what they were saying. I just believed it. I mean, I know that was a gift. And I asked God to use me, and it was just a matter of a couple times just going out in faith, not knowing it. Strangers are the best people to do it to. They don't know you, right? You know, you can say that's something right to a stranger. You can go up to a stranger and just say, you know, one of the first times I did it, I was at a a farmer's market, and I was there for myself to buy, you know, produce or whatever, and stuff, walking around looking at all the vendors and everything. And I happened to see this woman, and she had been to her booth before, but I came by to say hello again. So I'd been by, so I had talked with her before, and she wasn't a Christian, but I noticed that particular day she was wearing a head covering, where she hadn't been before. And I asked her about it, if she was a Christian, and she said, no, I just like it. I was just experimenting and thought it was neat. So she bought this thing and she was wearing it anyhow. So, you know, I kind of had somebody I knew, but I didn't know, you know, didn't know her name or anything, but had talked with her and she remembered me. But anyhow, this particular day, she had a bandage on her hand wrapped up. Like most of her hand was all wrapped up and stuff, and in gauze and tape and everything. And I asked her what had happened. She told me that she had cut herself at the restaurant and that she didn't have health insurance. She didn't go to the doctor, so she just had it wrapped up as best she could. And I asked her, I said, well, can I pray for you? And she said, yes. And she just stuck her hand out right to me, you know, and I prayed for her. You know, I took her hand lightly. I just took her wrist and spoke whatever I spoke and prayed for healing for her. She felt something from me. She felt something in her body. God did something, and he just used me. And I never saw her again, but I believe she was healed.
Amen.
So it's just, God, give me the opportunity. Pat, you can practice on us anytime you want, you know. You got faith there. So, I mean, that's just practice. It's just stepping out. Yeah. Anytime. I'm always needing something. But yeah, and it's just practice. Just step out in faith and you know, God, I remember David saying something like, even if you make a mistake, God's still going to honor your faith. Even if you're not 100% right, he wants the glory, and he wants to encourage us when we do something like that. When we go out in his name, the righteous won't be put to shame. You know, you want to help somebody. That's your desire. That's because that's Christ in us. He's going to do something.
Amen.
So
he
practice. Sure is. Yeah, just practice and ask God for opportunities. He'll give you the faith. It'll be there. Pray yourself up, too, in the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Go ahead, Isaac. Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah, two things. You're talking about the man who didn't have the Holy Spirit, and he said that, I guess that demon threw him out in the street or something like that. That brought me, it reminded me of something that me and Geneva seen one time. I used to live in Columbus, Ohio, and I used to go door to door. That's what I did for a living for like a whole year. And, you know, I kind of travel around more on the East Coast than, but most of the time in Columbus, that was a really hard job, man. A lot of people don't want to see you because you're selling stuff, but I was just setting up quotes for like home improvement companies, but I was still basically the same thing. Anyways, it was a big pyramid scheme. But I was, I had my PhD. I was poor, hungry, and determined. So, Geneva came up to visit me one time, and she was probably, man, she was probably, I don't know, 12 or 13 years old. And so she stayed with me on one of her breaks from school. And I was living with a buddy in an apartment. So I take her with me, and we go door to door, right? Show her what I do for a living. Now, those days are like, man, they're like, every day was like 14 hours a day. But I only went door to door for like 8 hours, but it was just a lot of work, man. Well, 8 to 10. Anyways, we started early. So we went through kind of a rough neighborhood, and we went to this one house, and I knocked on the door, and a person answered, and they were wearing like cutoff jean shorts, and their hair was like all going crazy, almost like an afro, but going crazy different directions. And their eyes were blood red. And the person was shaking like this, and like just shaking and hemorrhaging. And they were like growling. And the door swung open, and you could see where there was writings and markings on the wall and all kinds of crazy numbers and like almost like a hieroglyphics, man. And stuff fell on the ground and glass. You know, it was a scene. And the guy was like sitting there like making a noise like that. He was a demon. He was totally demonically possessed. And of course, you know, I didn't know then what I know now. I took Geneva. I said, "Dude, just get behind me." And I said, "Yeah." And I said, "Sir, we're just doing work in the neighborhood. Just want to let everybody know." And we kind of backed up. But, you know, I do think about that. And I think about these events. And I think, my Lord, how could you not believe? Right. But then the second thing I wanted to, and that's what it reminded me of. The second thing I wanted to say was, I know I just shared his testimony about that cat, and it's a cat. You know what I mean? But we're talking on a larger scale with humans. And I do believe God's growing our faith incrementally. And I believe, you know, also what sometimes, man, you just got, you know, that faith to move a mountain immediately, that really happens. It really does. But this little cat, you know, it's quite a testimony. Like, and I'm like, man, really amazes me because, like, we've been praying for it for a year and a half to come back, and it just came back on Christmas. But I'm telling you right now, guys, that cat was dead. It was dead. Totally, man. Because I remember that dream. I remember I had that chicken I was praying for. It was sick and it died. And, you know, I was really trying to have faith, and I was kind of battling my own unbelief. I'm going to be honest with you. I took the chicken by the legs. See, I like to do chicken bowling, right? And what that looks like is when I put them back in the coop, I always have to come bowling. I throw them in there and they go flying, right? I really do. Well, anyways, this time with the chicken, I grabbed it by the legs. I was really having faith, and I just took it and I threw it because it's dead. And it went, hit the ground. I said, oh, man. And that was kind of my faith right there. I just kind of, after one bad attempt, I just let it go. And then I had that dream that night that I was sitting there, or I was in like a street, and it was another time where God spoke to me, and it's the sound is all encompassing, right? It's just imagine like a thunder that is the total sky, northeast, south, and west. It's just everywhere. And he told me this, and I fell down on the ground. He said, what was, I'm trying to remember exactly, but bear with me. Basically he said, if you just believe, I will do it. Just believe, Isaac, and it is done unto you. Believe. And that was all that happened to me in that dream. Okay, so back to this little cat. So, man, it couldn't open its eyes, mouth, move, nothing. It was bloody and just, I mean, it couldn't do anything. It literally couldn't do anything. When I took a straw and put water in its mouth, I had to, like, put my finger in its mouth, in between its teeth, and shove it in there and get it in there. And it was kind of like this. I mean, just, it may have a little breath. Maybe twice a minute, maybe. I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, it was, you know, my in-laws were here. They seen it. And I could tell. You could just see. You know, it's funny. They actually left immediately. They actually left immediately. Right when we brought that kid inside, they left. I didn't even think about that till right now. And you know that. You see that in the Bible. I could tell just from the, they're like, oh, it's goner. And man, I'm telling you, I held the thing and I thought, Lord, I just can't. And I remember me saying this out loud. I said, Lord, I just can't imagine. I would pray for a year and a half. You bring me this cat to die in front of me. I don't believe that. That's not how this one works. It doesn't work this way. It don't work that way. It really don't. And I just know that. And we prayed with you guys that night, and it was still laying there, same old thing. And man, within 30 minutes of that prayer, that cat jumped up, took off, and went and started eating. Man, it was a total miracle, man. That's what I wanted to share again.
Yeah, praise God. Here's what Wigglesworth he said. He used to say this. He said, I'd rather die believing than to die doubting. I'd rather die believing than to die doubting. I said, Brian said he had, I think it was a baby that had dropsies that he soccer kicked out in the congregation. It landed out in the congregation and it was alive as soon as it hit some, you know, hit it out there. It hit the floor. Totally healed. Totally healed. Oh my, it's getting time to 9:55. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. We are one spirit with the Lord. We're one spirit with the Lord. We've got everything that he's got. I tell you something, when you get mad at the enemy because of what he's done to somebody, you'd be very effective. That's what Wigglesworth was. He got mad at the enemy and started hitting folks. And when you get mad at the enemy, you can see that enemy on somebody that's hurting, tearing them down, and you know that you can reach and grab them and pray for them and get them healed. You start being very effective because you know that you can help them. This is what keeps people alive, is us. How many of you think that we can depend on the hospitals anymore? Oh, my goodness. I would want my worst enemy to go to the hospital. For goodness sake, you're signed their death warrant. And a lot of them. But I wouldn't tell anybody not to go. I'm just telling you that there's a better way. It's a lot better way. It's a whole lot cheaper and a whole lot more effective. Because my brother, he and I both had a rotating cuff first time I got healed of anything. And it didn't cost me a nickel. It cost him $1,500. Back then, I was in 97. cost him $1,500, cost me zilch in about 2 minutes, if that long. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for getting this word out. Lord, let it be a blessing to everybody to encourage them to go out and be a light for the world from you, Lord. And I thank you for that, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you place it in the heart to know and to understand. They don't have anything to worry about. They trust you. And if they trust you, we're going to see it done. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that if there's a trial coming, that we will stand the trial and be overcomers. And we thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that we all know that the power of God rests within, that resides inside of us, is ready to be loose to the world out there. And we praise you for it, Father. And Lord, I thank you for your encouragement and boldness that you're placing in everyone that listens to this broadcast, that's with this broadcast, to go out and exercise their right as an ambassador of yours. And an ambassador is somebody who stands instead of. And I thank you for it, Father, and I praise you for it, Father. And I know that we're going to have some wonderful testimonies come next Tuesday, and or even Saturday night. And I thank you for it, Father. And I glorify you and I praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, I ask and I pray that you would place it in our hearts to speak in tongues and to meditate on the word more and more and more as these things come to light. And I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your patience with us. Thank you, Lord, for your guidance, your wisdom, and your discernment. In Jesus' name, in all that we do. And I declare and decree right now, any kind of infirmity in this fellowship, you go right now in Jesus' name. Everything that has been burdened anyone in this fellowship, you go. You're an enemy, and you have to go in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits of infirmity out of here in Jesus' name. I command complete healing in bodies. And I command complete deliverances from their bodies in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you, Father, that it is done. Blind eyes see. Ears, deaf ears, be unstopped in Jesus' name. Cancers dry up and go in Jesus' name. Tumors go in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of infirmity leave the bodies of God's people right now in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you, Father, that it is done. I believe it. I thank you, Father, that your spirit has already gone out and done its job. Because we trust you, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise your holy name, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we just, every circumstance, every hill that has come up before anybody that's listening to my voice right now, be leveled out in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that it is done. Nothing is too hard for you, Lord. And I praise you and I glorify you for doing everything we pray to make Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I thank you for the new language you've given Ben to in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Praise God forevermore. Lord, I thank you for blessing Karen too. Blessing her with opening her spiritual eyes and ears open now that she is just excited about Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Y'all be blessed. I hope y'all were blessed as I was. because I get my spirit stirred up when I get to talking about Jesus. Let's see here. Let me hit the